With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. This is the People's Poll. My name's Serge.
My name is James.
And we put a poll out each and every Sunday for what we are going to discuss on a Monday, a little 20 minutes to half an hour of football fun. This week, it's Monday Night Football, one of the biggest rivalries of the past 25 years, Manchester United taking on Arsenal. And it's still quite a...
They still dislike each
other.
They
hate each other a lot. And it really stems from this era back in late 90s, early 2000s, where they were both amazing teams. Amazing teams. You highlighted four games to look at, and we'd talk about one. And there was a clear winner in the end, although they all had a little bit of attention. There's probably another two or three games easily that you could put into the poll as well.
You could have put 9 or 10 games on this poll.
Indeed.
Honestly.
But what were the four games you picked? And then let's talk about the one that won
the poll.
So I picked
out, basically, I looked at a poll for four games between the years of 96 and 2004, as United and Arsenal won every title between that period, and obviously kind of really stoked up with Wenger coming in and the rivalry between him and Ferguson. The ones I nominated was a 3-2 win for Arsenal in the 97-98 season, which was the game where Anelka scored his first goal for Arsenal, and David Platt got the winner after Teddy Sheringham had scored twice to pull United level. It was a terrific game of football. He also nominated United's 6-1 win in 2001 when United were 5-1 up at half-time. Dwight York had scored a hat-trick and Arsenal fielded a back four that would have made most West Ham fans deeply proud in their darkest moments. I mean, like Stepanovs and Grimondi and Luzny, I think.
I mean, there was a bit of looking over some archive YouTube footage in preparation for the show, and Gilles Grimondi, every time he came up as an Arsenal player, I was like, there were some bad players amongst some stars.
He was probably, I think Ashley Cole played left back for Arsenal in that game. And Grimondi was probably the second best of that. I mean, Stepanovs played and he just got absolutely ruined by Dwight York. A lot of people said, why didn't you put in the 8-2? But I just thought it was later on. That wasn't till 2011, I think that was. I also put in the 1-0 win for Arsenal when they won the title at Old Trafford when Wiltord scored to clinch the title on the midweek before the final day. I mean, Arsenal didn't have to win the game that day. I think they just needed a draw to clinch the title.
Yeah.
But it was 1-0 favour memory. But the one that's won the poll is the one that I wanted to win the poll. A, because it wasn't an Arsenal win.
No.
And B, it was an astonishing game of football.
We're going back to 1999, FA Cup semi-final at Old Trafford.
At Villa Park.
Oh, sorry, it was at Villa Park. And a 2-1 extra time victory for Manchester United. I mean, that game had it all. For me, my memories of football back then are not as vivid as yours. I do remember the game. But the reason that the first thing that I remember it for is that we were, it was confirmed after that game that Ryan Giggs is the hairiest man in football.
Yeah. His sister-in-law should have known that first. Really, shouldn't she?
Missed penalties, red cards, swinging this way, swinging that way. It had it all that game. I don't know if it's it must be the equipment, but the atmosphere when you watch it back on YouTube now, the crowds just seem so much louder than they do now. Is that because of the equipment and the mics, or do you think people were rowdier then and now we go and sit back and relax and want to be entertained?
Rowdier. This was the last FA Cup semi-final replay, and also one of the last that was played on a neutral venue. There were a few dotted round the country while Wembley was getting rebuilt.
Mm.
But this was the last really big one. I had a few semis in Wales even. And it was obviously Arsenal Spurs at Old Trafford in 2001. But this was proper rowdy. If you look at the attendance that night at Villa Park, it was only 30,000. And one of the reasons for that was the other semi-final was actually Newcastle and Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the first game of this in a pub in Manchester because we played Newcastle at Old Trafford. And the first game was pretty dull. The replay should never have happened because Roy Keane scored a goal that was disallowed. And having seen it back again, I couldn't recall it, but seeing it back last night, no idea why it was disallowed. And even I found an interview with David Ellery, who was the ref, I think, for both ties. And even he said that it was disallowed wrongly. That replay should never have happened. But I remember that Spurs and Newcastle went to extra time. We lost 2-0 in extra time. Shearer scored twice. And I remember, had we drawn, we were going to play the replay again at Old Trafford 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the game going to extra time, my dad saying to me, if it goes to replay, I'm not coming back up. And I was like, well, I am. And he was like, well, you're not, son. You're like 14. How are you going to fucking get it? And I was like, yeah, but I can't be missing like an FA Cup semi-final replay.
Yeah.
And I think just at that short notice, midweek night,
yep,
the ground wasn't quite full. Mm. But then everybody who was there was fucking hardcore, right?
Yeah.
It would be great to get particularly FA Cup semi-final replays back away from Wembley and give it back to the fans. It's a soulless place. I think everybody knows my emotions on Wembley. But yeah, let's get these semi-finals back to Villa Parks and the Hillsboroughs and Old Trafford and the like that. There's plenty of stadiums now, even in London, other than Wembley. You know, Spurs, Arsenal can hold these games, no problem at all. The actual replay itself was an astonishing game of football. It's probably, I would say, the most intense and best game of football I've ever seen that wasn't high scoring.
Yeah, end to end. There was a lot of chances. When you say intense, end to end, is that what you mean?
It's because, to be honest, the game didn't have... It wasn't like the Liverpool-Newcastle game a few years earlier, which was astonishing for different reasons because... If that had been 8-7, no one could have complained. There wasn't actually a huge number of clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities in this game, but it was clearly the two best sides going at it. And it was at a period when that rivalry was really, really beginning. That Arsenal United period that I've spoke of, sort of kind of 97 to 2004-05, was by far and away the best rivalry there's been in the Premier League. Now, in the next 5 to 6 years or so, Liverpool and Man City might begin to equal that, but it's got a long way to go to have the historical meaning that fixture's got.
Yeah, I mean, there is when you play each other so often and so frequently, that's when the interplayer rivalries start creeping up, not just the club rivalries, so your Keenan Vieira rivalry, and what we don't have necessarily now is necessarily this interplayer rivalries at clubs that we used to have back then. I mean, Beckham opened the scoring with a really, really good goal. One of the things from that game was, I mean, Schmeichel saved the penalty. Seaman made a couple of other really good saves as well. The goalkeeping, they were the two best goalkeepers in the world.
Very arguably at that
Buffon
time.
Buffon maybe you might chuck in. But
they
were there. They're there and thereabouts. But Seaman could have saved Beckham's shot, you think?
Would he give...
It was a hell of a goal, but he could have saved it.
It was a long clearance that went downfield. And I think
Sheringham and
Solskjaer had come into the team, changed from Cole and York on the Sunday. One of the things the United team had a little bit more in depth at that period than Arsenal. I think Sheringham knocked it down into Beckham's path.
And just whacked it.
Beck's had this unbelievable beauty, obviously particularly rememberably from dead balls, where he could go either way, where he could just whip it over a wall, for example, and go to a near post, or he just used to close his foot.
Fade it.
And that's exactly what he did with this goal, was close his foot. There's one brilliant angle taken from behind Beckham, where you can see how he closes his foot and you think, oh, maybe Seaman should have got her. But he goes right in the corner from a big distance, 25 to 30 odd yards.
Yeah, it was
right
way out.
In the bottom corner. One of the things, Seaman was an unbelievable goalkeeper. If he had a weakness, he didn't move his feet that quickly. But positionally and, you know, command of area, etc. He was an outstanding goalkeeper.
Yep.
The game really heated up in the second half when Arsenal began to get a bit more dominance into the game. As United, quite rightly, once you go ahead in these games, Ferguson was kind of ahead of his time in his thinking, played very much on the counter-attack, and actually 1-11 on the night, because of the changes where United had left out York and Cole and Scholes, on paper, Arsenal looked a stronger side, and it showed in the second half.
You would say that on the 90, Arsenal probably should have won.
Yes. Yeah, they probably the 90, just they about should have won the game, and not particularly, obviously, with the last-minute penalty. They got an equaliser, I think it was about 15 minutes to go. Bergkamp took a shot from about similar range from Beckham's goal at the same end, which took a deflection off Stam. Schmeichel just couldn't get there, and it went in the corner. And then Arsenal threw the proverbial sink at United. It scored again just afterwards from a shot at the edge of the area, which Anelka followed him, rounded Schmeichel and scored, and was just offside.
It was half a foot.
The game by this was so frantic by this point that they were showing the replay, cut back to the live action, and Keane's getting sent off for a second booking for holding down Overmars, who had also come on as a sub.
Definitely a red card as well.
Oh, tackle from standard behind. Booking. There's a replay from behind the goal where he doesn't actually make a lot of contact with Overmars, but it's the tackle the way you go in if you don't win.
Feet off the ground
even,
and from behind.
Even 20 years ago, you were going to get done. Booked. And Keane had been sent off by David Ellery in a replay at Villa Park 4 years earlier for stamping on Gareth Southgate in a semi-final replay again that they'd won against Crystal Palace on that occasion. So at that point, you think Arsenal with this firepower, Overmars, Bergkamp, Anelka, Vieira and Petit in the middle of the pitch, just going to have too much for United. Ferguson brought on Giggs extra time for Solskjaer to tighten it up a bit. I think Ferguson tried to still win the game because he knew that, like, going into extra time, Arsenal would just have too much. Mm. And then obviously Phil Neville commits the most blatant foul on Ray Parlour in injury time.
Yep.
To give Arsenal a penalty. And Bergkamp wasn't a great penalty taker. He'd missed three of his previous five.
Really?
Before that penalty kick. So when Schmeichel saved, it was actually 4 out of 6. I don't know if Schmeichel might have even saved a penalty from Bergkamp in the Euro semi-final in 92 in Sweden for Denmark against Holland. It was a very bog standard.
It was a rubbish penalty. Rubbish penalty. A very nice height for a keeper, easy to his left, straightforward save.
Yeah.
And things like that really change the momentum. You get a real momentum shift when that kind of happens. And then you feel like you've just come on and won the game from a losing situation or what have you.
Well, it gave United a sense of being and staying in the game. The drama kind of continued early in the first half when Schmeichel made another really good save from Bergkamp from a shot from range that he tipped wide round the post. And Schmeichel actually pulled a muscle in his thigh, I believe, in making the save.
Ouch.
Gary Neville took the goal kicks for the rest of extra time.
Yeah.
And I read an interview with Gary Neville where he said during that game, towards the end of the game, it was the only time he'd ever smiled during a game, where he felt the occasion of how big and how good this football match was.
Yep.
It was just a pleasure to be part of it. He said, actually, that in that same interview, that after the game in the tunnel, Tony Adams and Lee Dixon waited outside the United dressing room to congratulate United on winning.
Wow.
Which, when you consider
the rivalry.
Yeah. People like Adams and Dixon were proper men, right? You think about that Arsenal back four, adding in Martin Keogh and Winterburn. Steve Bould came on very late in the game when they just threw him up front.
It was the greatest Arsenal defence of all time.
And one of the reasons to kind of part mention this now in terms of how good those two teams were is partly on the basis of obviously what they are now and the vast differences, particularly if you think of Arsenal defensively. That back four that Wenger inherited, I don't think there's any way of ever really answering if he was lucky. to walk into that. He obviously added players later on who did well, like him from Spurs and Kolo Touré and others. Lauren, he obviously developed Ashley Cole through the youth system. But he was incredibly lucky to walk into that back 4-5 with Bold and David Seaman in goal.
Mm. What about Giggs's goal?
Well,
it was a great goal. I don't know why Seaman decided to sit down on his arse rather than stand up.
It's a little harsh.
But again, maybe he could have done better, but he'd already taken it around 3 or 4 players and put it in, and that was that. And that's just one of the most iconic Manchester United goals ever, maybe up there with Solskjaer's 99th minute or whatever it ended up being.
This one goal might even be more.
Yeah, I would say it's more iconic. The actual goal itself, because of the celebration and everything that went with it, deserved to win any game of football. It was a class goal.
Neville had also said in that interview that I read, which was from a few years back, he said the euphoria of that game was bigger than winning the Champions League final.
Mm. When you're down to... Just I mean, you've had the occasion. This weekend. When you win with 10 men for the majority of the game, it's crazy. But in a game as tight as that, to win after 10 men and extra time and all the rest of it.
Well, the only thing I could compare that night to, I suppose...
Ajax,
yeah, mm. Absolutely. That winning from you accept that you cut that moment where Bergkamp takes the penalty, every United fan, even the players on the pitch, would have kind of accepted you've lost here.
Yeah.
And then Giggs produces this incredible moment where Vieira, ironically, who was such an incredible footballer, in a moment of tiredness, gives away a sloppy pass to Giggs. Yep. It's not even close to being to one of his teammates.
No, it was awful.
Giggs picks the ball up 10 yards inside his half and decides to go. I saw an interview that he'd said where he came on at the start of extra time and he was having a shocker. Mm. He kept giving the ball away, which, you know, down to 10 men against Arsenal can happen, I guess. But he'd said he'd already set out in his mind that he was playing so badly that the next time he got it, he was just going to run. And that's exactly what he did. So he drives at United and Vieira cuts across on the angle and tries to cut him out. And he gives him the kind of drop the shoulder, goes on the outside. Then he comes inside Dixon. Dixon ends up on the other side of him. He beats Keogh and he beats Dixon by going left to right foot.
Falls on his foot.
He's still got Tony Adams coming at him.
Yep.
And actually, when you look at, I know you're saying about Seaman and he kind of laid down, but it was the only place he could score. If you look at David Seaman's positioning.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
His position is absolutely perfect. The only way Giggs can beat him is by power. And he just smashes the thing.
Yep. Yeah, it was past him before he could have done anything, maybe, yeah.
Well, you get your hand up and you hope you get there, but if it don't, you're just going to end up going backwards and he smashed the thing. And then, obviously, the famous celebration, all the scenes with like United player fans running on the pitch and that, I know it gets massively condemned, but you look back on them celebrations and it does remind you a little bit of what football used to be.
The mad old days.
And to be fair, even like United... fans invaded the pitch after the game. Gunas took it pretty well, in fairness. I think now there'd be a few of them trying to get on that pitch
True.
Led by DT and troops and the crowd there. It was just an incredible game of football that had everything. And of course, it kind of led to United's treble as well. The game, because they were playing Newcastle in the final, and Newcastle and Spurs, which was the other semi, were both bog standard mid-table teams at the time. Newcastle had Shearer, but not a lot else.
That
this
was it.
This was a much faded team from the Keegan spell. So it felt like the final in itself as well. United ended up winning the league title by a point. I think it was a point. It was Andy Cole's goal against Tottenham on the last day of the season at Old Trafford. And then obviously the Champions League final as well. And Arsenal had obviously won the double the year before. The pair of them were just cleaning up everything. At the time, it was two incredible teams.
Mm. You just mentioned a couple of people there, DT and Troops and Arsenal Fan TV. they had a kind of preview show for this game just a couple of days ago, Robbie and Troops, and then they had Flex, is it, from United Stand or something, one of the Man United YouTube channels on the show as well.
It didn't have Goldbridge on that.
It was DT, not Troops on there. It was on the podcast. I can't remember. But... there was still, like, so if you look at it today, let's bring it back to today's game, which is in a handful of hours now. Arsenal should be clear favourites going up to Old Trafford. They've got the better team on paper. But there's still that edge of nervousness of going to Old Trafford for Arsenal. Troops and Robbie said that they're just, there's some clubs and some rivalries and some games you go to that doesn't matter what's happened, you still have that air of nervousness. And this is one of them for them, which is Old Trafford. But tonight, with Aubameyang and Pepe and the firepower that they possess, potentially Tierney, Holding, Bellerin, all these guys fit again.
They ain't going to play those three, I don't know.
You don't think so?
Tierney might.
There is talk about Holding potentially playing tonight as well.
But it'll be better when Rob Holding's back in that team, I would imagine.
You'd think that Arsenal should win tonight.
They probably should if United's injuries were as bad as they... Obviously, Pogba was back against Rochdale. In the
and
League
it's
Cup.
Disappeared again.
A, he
apparently.
Didn't make a distance. Of B, he's probably injured again.
Yeah, they said his ankle's swollen up and he might
Martial, who a lot of FPL players were like, should I hold him through? Was it game week 4 or 3 he was injured? It was like, oh, it'll be 1 week. He'll be back after the international break. He's still not going to be
Which
back till after the next one by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Rashford's obviously out. Is he going to go with Greenwood up front?
He's got no choice. Who else is he going to put up front?
Well, I don't know. Does he
keeps
go...
talking about how Greenwood is world class.
Does he go with Lingard or Mata as a false 10? The point is United are so far off at the moment, aren't they?
And you'd think that Arsenal would. The only saving grace for United is obviously Wan-Bissaka is a great defender and Harry Maguire. They could, and De Gea is still a world class goalkeeper. Yeah, but if Pepe and Aubameyang can strike up some kind of relationship tonight, that's it's for me, it's Arsenal attack versus United defences where this is going to be won or lost.
United are stronger defensively than Arsenal are.
Yeah, for sure.
But Arsenal have got far more firepower. I agree with that. The thing is, if United can be tight, they can win this game tonight.
Yeah, nick it. But if United win, it'll be a 1-0 or a 2-1. But I think a 1-0 is the only way United are going to win this game.
I wouldn't see Arsenal going up there and battering it, mate.
You don't know. I don't know.
I think it's so difficult to call. If the game was at the Emirates, I'd say, yeah, Arsenal win comfortably.
There was a very interesting article, and I have no idea where I read it now. So, sorry, I'm unhelpful on that. But if you Google it, about Pepe and Aubameyang and how they're not passing to each other. They might have even been on the Premier League's official own website. Like, in the first 3 or 4 games they played together, they shared 13, 14 passes. In the last 2 games, apparently they've only passed to each other 3 or 4 times. Doesn't sound right to me, but that's what the article said.
You would think with Lacazette out the team, they'd be a bit closer to each other. I can understand that early on if they were playing either side of Lacazette, so they probably wouldn't be in direct contact so much.
Yeah, but you'd expect the two players to pass to each other more or have more direct contact. I think that's such a key for them tonight. Getting Pepe and Aubameyang to work in unison and have some kind of harmony. Because to make my mediocre FPL week a good one, I need 2 Aubameyang goals. Because 2 Aubameyang goals with some BPS pushes me up into mid-60s. That would be a very good week this week.
I'd like a repeat of the fixture in 90 and 91, which is going back further. Still Ferguson's time, obviously well before Wenger, where both teams were deducted points for an on-field brawl. That will suit me absolutely fine.
There we go. It's going to be an interesting game tonight. Looking forward to watching it. I'll have it on. But yeah, I worry for United more than anything else. One of the things is obviously Wan-Bissaka is one of their strongest defenders. I don't think Arsenal will be playing with particular width. If you've got just Aubameyang and Pepe, they'll probably play a little bit inside.
Well, we don't know if Arsenal are going to go maybe push Ceballos or Ozil into a higher position or
please
possible.
Don't play Ozil, but if you can
could he play Saka again or Willock in a more advanced
wider
position
role?
Or Reece Nelson? I wouldn't rule any of that out. Or will Arsenal go to a diamond?
I mean, Maitland-Niles should be available, right? He served his suspension in the League Cup.
I think we were very critical of Arsenal's diamond at Liverpool, but I think if they play it tonight, they'll have some success.
I think width is where, on the other side, Pepe versus Ashley Young, I think they should get width on the right and maybe stay a bit narrower on the left with Aubameyang coming in. They could have a lot of success that way. So looking forward to seeing what happens. Aubameyang got to score me 2 goals.
Nice. Less of that.
More 2 goals. Anything else to add?
No, main podcast straight after the game.
Yeah, we'll be out straight after the game. We'll be recording before the game, so we won't know the ins and outs of that. Plenty coming at you this week as well. We have our Sky Fantasy Football podcast. Sky's bug on the website is fixed now. My 123 points has been brought back down to 87 points. For some reason, I had 56 points on Vardy and 20 points from Soyuncu. They doubled all of Leicester player points for some odd reason. We have Clash of the Correspondents this week as well. We have Sam FPL Seagull, correct?
Yeah, and coming Ricky Saunders Spurs.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so we've got Ricky coming on. So it'll be two against one. I'm going to team up with Sam.
You do that.
To help Brighton here. Although, not looking good for Brighton this season so far.
We'll also be tomorrow talking Tottenham. And yes. We are hearing news of a lengthy injury for Fabianski.
2 to 3 months, they say now. Mm. Was 2 to 3 weeks. So all of you that have been DMing me asking about Diop or Masuaku, who's the best option?
Forget it.
Neither. And then, yeah, final plan as always on Friday. So do stay tuned for lots of content, lots of announcements, lots of fun stuff coming at you. Other than that, ciao for now.
Cue music, man, child. Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.